It's easy to pile on Congress right now for the shutdown of the federal government, but even before the current situation, legislation that looked like it might pass a few months ago got sidetracked. Comprehensive immigration reform is stuck like a lot of other work. And in the absence of a federal law addressing the 11 or 12 million undocumented immigrants in the country, states are passing their own laws, have been for several years now. Some laws are punitive, many are not. Oregon passed a tuition equity law this year, giving in-state tuition to undocumented immigrants at state universities. It is in effect with the academic year that began a week ago. Raina Lopez joins us. She's the director of civic engagement at the Latino immigrant rights organization called CAUSA. And she's our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. Raina, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a bit about your group, how long it's existed, and what you're for.
Great. Yeah, CAUSA has been around since 1993. We came out of the organization PACUN, which is the farm workers union down in Woodburn. Back in those days, there was a lot of measures coming out that were, we were seeing some anti-immigrant sentiment, and the need really came out of the coalition down in that particular area. Coming together, groups like Mano a Mano, PACUN, the farm worker, the fair housing coalitions down there coming together to really push for more pro-immigrant policies, leadership development, civic engagement of the Latino community. So we've been around for a while and continuing to do the good work around policy advocacy for immigrants all across the state.
Has the treatment of farm workers gotten somewhat better over the years since CAUSA and other organizations stepped up?
I really think it has. We've seen some improvement in, you know, the housing in particular for farm workers. If anyone has ever been to an actual farm workers housing site, some of those places look like worse than third world conditions. But that's one of the things that I think that the groups are really proud of, and we're continuing to try to maintain services for these folks that, you know, pick our food and make sure that our economy flows in a healthy way.
All right. So to the issue particularly of in-state tuition for undocumented immigrants, track, if you would, the progress or the lack of it, if you prefer, on this issue, both at the federal and state levels.
Yeah, I mean, we've been fighting for this issue for over 13 years. I think that this last year was really, things looked really different for the Latino community and for a lot of communities of color, actually, where we saw that we were actually able to pass issues like tuition equity. We passed cultural competency, data collection, and even the new Oregon driver card for the undocumented community to drive again. In particular with this issue, I think that we felt a lot of momentum just coming out of the DREAM Act 2 years ago, not being able to pass, but still that energy was there. Young people were feeling, morale was a little low with a lot of young people that worked really hard to try to make the DREAM Act happen. And then we saw tuition equity also not happen within the last few years, despite the fact that we had a lot of folks engaging. But then And then DACA, Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, the policy change that happened back last summer.
So this is the federal government taking action or taking inaction, as the case may be, in view of the lack of any congressional action.
Exactly. I think that here on the ground, here at home, we know that we have undocumented youth that have gone through our schools, some of these cream of the crop students that hit a barrier once they go to high school, once they graduate high school and want to go to college, and realize that that is unattainable for them. Not only because they can't apply for scholarships, they can't apply for FAFSA, but also because they are being charged two times and up to three times as much as their classmates.
But that's an interesting point, though, you bring up that obviously anybody who is undocumented is not going to want to fill out that financial aid form, that FAFSA. And so it's kind of a double whammy, or certainly has been up to this point, where you're not only paying the out-of-state tuition, but probably don't want to apply for financial aid.
Yeah, and actually it's against law for young people to apply for financial aid if you're undocumented. Even if you've been in Oregon your whole life, you know, and a lot of these kids have been here since they were babies. So it's a harsh reality that a lot of the young people that are undocumented have to face when they're wanting to go to college and they want to continue their education.
I want to be clear, this is not for the parents who cross the border, but it is for their children, and the DREAM Act legislation and similar stuff, I forget the acronym at the moment, but it is about dealing with the issues that arise for children who've been in the country pretty much their whole lives, no other home, and yet are considered undocumented, or for the people who prefer the term illegal alien, that's what they are. And so how big a political football did this turn into during the Oregon legislative session? This is the regular session earlier this year, correct?
Yes. I mean, it was a fight. It was definitely a fight. We mobilized a lot of people to come to the Capitol, do advocacy work, had a very diverse coalition. The coalition, I think, was actually probably one of the strongest reasons why we were able to make this issue happen. We were very organized and made sure that our spokespeople that were at the forefront were the young people that were trying to go to college and make this dream a reality for them. One of those folks was Hugo Nicolás, for example, who is a young dreamer from Salem, Oregon, who had really great grades, was a police cadet, very engaged in the community, and wanted to go to the military. He'll tell you to this day that when he gets his citizenship, he wants to go to the military, and has hit that reality a couple years ago, and that's kind of what pushed him into getting into the movement for tuition equity. We did definitely see resistance from particular groups that came from were the Oregonians for Immigration Reform, who were definitely pushing against us on this issue and on other particular issues that we work on. But at the same time, we saw that especially we could create really good relationships with even some Republican legislators who were feeling this the heat back at home, where on the ground they have a lot of folks that work in the fields or are migrant farm workers, and were asking for this issue and had a very diverse coalition to actually make it happen.
Reyna Lopez is our guest on the Jefferson Exchange. He's from the immigrant rights organization CAUSA. We're talking about the tuition equity law now in effect in Oregon, allowing the children of undocumented, they are undocumented immigrants themselves, to allow them to attend Oregon public universities at the in-state tuition rate. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 anywhere in the region. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. By email, jx@jeffnet.org. Reyna, you mentioned Hugo Nicolás, who I know is attending the University of Oregon now, based on some other coverage I've seen. He's certainly not the only one using the law at this point, though, is he?
No, definitely not. We've seen that that more and more students are wanting to go to college, and I think that before there was definitely a sentiment of hitting that barrier. Young people weren't wanting to go to school, or just felt that a lot of their effort to do it wasn't really going to pay off. But students like Hugo Nicolás, also Miriam Corona, who was one of our organizers that was pushing really hard during the session, who went from being a student to actually an advocate to a staff to pushing this issue. Young people in Portland, all over the state, I'm hearing some great results of folks being able to take advantage of the tuition equity that was a law that was passed here in Oregon.
And again, how big a number are we talking about? How big a difference in what they would be paying as out-of-state residents versus what they'll pay as in-state residents?
They will pay the same rates as in-state tuition would offer. So at PSU, for example, I believe it would be $12,000 as opposed to the out-of-state, which would be up to $30,000. It just really depends. Obviously, in private schools, it's a little bit different. Private schools do they're usually a lot higher rates, and everybody gets charged the same. But, for places like Oregon State, University of Oregon, Western, Eastern, Southern Oregon University, those rates would be they would get charged the same exact rate as the in-state tuition would charge any other person that who is an Oregonian, who's lived here their whole lives, and who has gone to high school in Oregon.
And Reyna, do we have hard numbers? I mean, was there any indication, first of all, about, and it would have been a guess, I'm sure, at how many people were eligible to use the law in this first academic year since its passage? And do we have hard numbers on how many people are, in fact, using it?
There aren't hard numbers quite yet. I think that our estimation for actually the first year is that less than less than 100 young people in Oregon would be able to would actually be taking advantage of tuition equity, and that number will be escalating and going up every single year because more young people would be wanting to funnel in and take advantage of tuition equity. Deferred action numbers, though, it's estimated that there's over 30,000 young undocumented people who can apply for deferred action, and we are mostly basing our numbers off of what deferred action those numbers that come from the estimated number of deferred action applicants.
All right, and this is the federal government again, the deferred action. So one more time again, because the DREAM Act did not pass, the Obama administration said we're just simply not going to try to deport these people.
Exactly.
That's what it got down to. Let's take a call here. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange to Charlie and Eugene.
Hi. How are you today, guys?
We're good. How are you?
Good, good, good. Hey, you know, I can't tell you how opposed I am to this. My family emigrated to this country legally in the 1950s. Okay, I was just a little baby. I was two or three years old. When I became of age, I became an American citizen, and I moved to Oregon in 1975 and had to pay out-of-state tuition because I was not a resident of Oregon, even though I was a legal American citizen. Okay, I had to pay out-of-state tuition, and now we're just to hand over to the children of people who came here illegally. I can't tell you how opposed I am to this.
Charlie, what is an appropriate way to address this then? Because it's not like the kids got themselves into Oregon.
The appropriate way is to, first off, the people are here illegally, okay? They're having a massive negative effect on American wages, and it serves the purposes of both parties, Democrats and Republicans, to continue to allow this influx of illegal folks into the country. It depresses wages, and it provides a massive voting block for the other party. So, I mean, it's a systemic problem, and we're putting this little feel-good Band-Aid on it, but ultimately it's unfair. It is unfair to American citizens, to people who emigrated here legally, okay, who went through the hoops, filled out the proper paperwork, and came here. And again, I come out to the point that I, as an American citizen, had to pay out-of-state tuition.
All right, we hear you, Charlie.
In Oregon.
Thank you for the candor. Let's get a response from Raina. Raina Lopez, go ahead, please.
And I think that's definitely a fair perspective. I think that a lot of folks in the country feel the frustration of the broken immigration system, and we're seeing the way that it's playing out in our communities on the ground. I think that absolutely, we definitely need a solution to the ultimate issue, which is the broken immigration system, which he's absolutely right. And the other side is seeing issues like that happen with even our American citizens. That should not happen. That absolutely should not happen. And I think that because we saw issues like that through advocacy, through coming together, we were able to push issues like tuition equity and elevate those things and make sure that we change the way that those things are happening. I think that if those issues are even happening within our American citizens, we our work through the advocacy side of things worked in that sense. I don't think that any Oregonian should be forced to pay out-of-state tuition if they've been here, going to school here. Here in Oregon, I think we take care of our own, and we focus on making sure that our communities are educated. And like I said, no person, even especially our own American citizens, should be paying out-of-state tuition if they're living in Oregon and went to our high schools and want to go to college.
Raina Lopez, again, our guest on the Jefferson Exchange, Director of Civic Engagement at the Latino Immigrant Rights Organization, CAUSA. And you can join us on the Jefferson Exchange as we talk about the implementation of Oregon's tuition equity law, which allows undocumented immigrants to pay in-state tuition at Oregon State Universities. Numbers here on the Exchange, 800-838-3760, anywhere in the listening area. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Email address is jx@jeffnet.org. Here's Bill in Eugene.
Hi, I'm from the old world. I remember what cost the citizenship of the U.S. cost wars, people moving here during the 20s, way back when, Ellis Island. And going through hell to get here, not to mention the modern people, current people, waiting for years in Europe and everything to come here legally. My whole suggestion is give everybody, put out a national newsletter, which is approved by all states, federal government, that in 6 months, any alien that's not legally in the United States has to register within 6 months. And if they don't, it will become a felony. They'll be put in hard labor or export. It won't be fun. So they got 6 months to leave. People that stay, then they're given, they fill out a form. There are people that stay, then they can apply. If they're males, non-family males, or women with non-families, they can go work, say, in VISTA or in Service of America or some kind of CCC Corps or something, give 2 years, give 3 years to the U.S. to earn their right for citizenship, and they will be paid, but they can't send money out of the country. They'll have enough money to get by, and their money will be put in a separate account, so when they get out, they can use that to buy a house. And then after they go through that, they're not legal to apply for citizenship. And also, when they give those people, in the 6 months, they get give them some kind of ID, put in a whole new system where everybody in the United States gets a new ID, where not everybody has to know your Social Security number to get you passed. So your finances, and that's separate.
All right, so registration of aliens and national service as a pathway to citizenship.
Right, and
but
also,
without registering,
if you get a national service, then, you know, you can still stay, but you can't be part of the, you can't stay forever if you're on the welfare system. You know, you have to find somebody to support you. And also that service, all people go in the military, they don't. You could go in the military if you're of age, and you'd only have to put in 2 years instead of three.
All right.
Or you're risking your life. And that, as soon as you get out there, you're ready to get your apply for citizenship.
All right, let's get a response. Bill, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Raina, your response to that?
Right now, I think that we are looking for a pathway to citizenship for a lot of our people here in Oregon and all across the country. Our message has been, you know, we would like to see a pathway to citizenship for 11 million undocumented immigrants estimated to be in the country today. And there's different ways to do that. I think that we definitely have been pushing, if these folks have been here, if they're working, they're not criminals, and they're putting in good things into our society, we want them to stay. If they're aspiring citizens and they want to be American, we should be able to create a path to allow these families to not only be here and work, but stay together and really elevate the values that our country was founded on. So I really appreciate that response in hearing what folks are thinking would be an appropriate way to create this path for folks instead of just deporting everybody, which would be detrimental, I think, to our communities, both in the Latino community and just the entire community all across the country.
Here's another call from Adam and Eugene. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with Raina Lopez. We're talking about Oregon's tuition equity law.
Hi. Thanks for letting me on. I appreciate your show. You know, I really think that some of the folks from the right are a little alarmist about the immigrants that are coming over. We should be trying to get them to be as best a person as they can, and by investing in education in them, we can make them better people in general. Because I think that we've got a certain degree of hypocrisy in terms of opening up our markets to free trade through NAFTA, but we don't allow the labor market to flow in a natural way. And so we just, by making it illegal or turning immigrants into felons, we actually add to the cost of doing business instead of letting the labor market float in a more natural way.
All right. Thanks for the thoughts, Adam. Appreciate it. Raina, your thoughts?
Oh, I think that that's absolutely right. There is a sense of fear, I think, in some of our communities where folks are feeling the anti-immigrant sentiment. But I think that the most important part is us having those real conversations with Republicans, with conservatives, with folks from Tea Party, with our libertarian community, and really finding where the common ground is. And that's the most important thing in pushing not only issues like tuition equity afloat, but also issues that have arisen through housing, public safety, everything across the board. And I think we had, like I said, for example, just in the legislative session, we had some really good relationships with some Republicans that actually elevated and really made this work happen. You know, for example, Senator Chuck Thompson from Hood River, Representative Mark Johnson, Representative Senator Hansel, Representative Vic Gilliam, who are all Republicans and were folks that we were able to talk to and find that ground, that common ground that really made sure that we were able to make policy like tuition equity happen.
So you were able to round up votes on both sides of the aisle from both parties in Oregon to get the tuition equity law passed.
Exactly. And I think that that's the most important part, is having those tough conversations with folks, because it is scary. Change is scary. And especially when we're seeing so many things on the ground in our communities, I think that people, it's easy to blame somebody else. And sometimes it's not exactly the person that we want that is responsible for that. But we need to have those conversations as a community, despite the fact that we might be on completely different sides of the spectrum when it comes to what we want to see.
So, Raina, just a couple seconds left, really. How do they prove citizenship or residency in Oregon when they can't get a driver's license? They do have the ID card, right?
Well, right now, we just recently, in this last session, we passed the Safe Roads Act, which is the new Oregon driver card. Basically, if you need to prove your identity through birth certificate, mm-hmm. through any other thing. Also, prove that you've been living in Oregon for the last year. And
all right.
And the one thing is
I have to leave it there, Raina. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Raina Lopez from CAUSA, thanks for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Great. Thank you so much. Take care, everyone.